Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about. On your problems, okay? I'm Ronnie, and guess who's with me? His name is Ben, and he's over there. Hi, Ben. How are
you? Hi, how's it going? Well, you know, I am recovering from a long, wonderful week with my parents. They just flew out right before recording this. And, you know, I had a great time. And one of the highlights was that I watched Real Housewives of Potomac with my father.
Oh, my God. How was that?
You know, I didn't ask him how he liked the show because I feel like he would say, oh, stupid. I don't know why. I don't know. This is stupid. But the truth is, I was looking at his face and he was gently smiling the entire time. And he even let out a belly laugh at one point. So, and he said he's going to listen to this episode. He said, can you send me a link to your episode? I figure as long as I know what the hell you're talking about.
I love that guy. Listen. Well, hi.
So, my dad's actually
Hello,
listening.
Hello, handsome. Nice to see you. Nice to see the insides of your ears. Oh, yeah. Your dad's much nicer to watch
also,
with. You know, my parents,
you know, something
I watch with my mom, and every single time when I would come home to visit before I lived here and I would have to stay with them at Christmas or whatever, or when I got to stay with them, I guess I should say, and I had to take notes just behind me playing canasta. Slut, idiot, why do you watch this? What's wrong with their faces?
Yeah, that if my mom hadn't fallen asleep on the sofa during, like, right before Potomac, she probably would have been saying something like, "Why do these women talk? Why are they talking about all this? What is this? What is happening?" So it's pretty simple. I think it's a standard mom reaction. Also, I think it should be noted, because I'm not sure how many people who listen to this episode or our recap of Potomac also listen to our other episodes. But in case you missed it last week, I did clarify that DMV does in fact stand for DC, Maryland, and Virginia. And I had said Delaware. I don't know why I said Delaware, because I knew what the DMV stood for. But I want to just give a special thank you to the many, many, many people who have sent me messages and tweets and more messages and more tweets about it. It has been received.
Very upset. Okay.
I really upset that region. I really did.
You really did. Now you're gonna have you're already gonna
thank
have the,
you
film
for your
the local film commission coming after you. So, got to watch your step.
I know. I really did not do myself any favors with the Mid-Atlantic region last week on the podcast. I shaded their film industry, their burgeoning film industry. That, of course, Michael Darby is going to be a linchpin of that. And then I messed up their acronym.
Well, I didn't correct you, but you know, scrolling through notes, I can't hear everything, people. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's fine. And of course, as we all know, DC stands for the District of Christtown. So, you know, I promise I won't mess up any more of these initials and these acronyms.
Okay. Well, here we are with Real Housewives of Potomac. It's a very feeling episode. It's one of those episodes where they're like, you know what? Let's take a break from fighting and just watch everyone at home for a while. Be feely.
But it wasn't very fighty, but it still was very funny. Like, I was definitely chuckling.
Yes,
most
especially
of the
as it got towards the end and they went on vacation. But first we get our gift, our new gift to the world, Baby Dylan. All right, hello, I'm Baby Dylan. I've come home to raid the fridge of milk, and by fridge I mean your breasts. Wah wah, wah wah,
wah wah. Move over, Baby Dane. There's a new baby in town, and I'm here to suckle on some teats. Wah, wah.
So
wah,
Ashley wah. Says that she was really worried about bringing another baby into the house, you know, because she's got Dean already, and she's got, you know, watery-eyed Michael, bitey-lip Michael, the old baby, the Benjamin Button baby. And so she was a little worried, but, you know, once she saw him, she just knew Dylan was meant to be part of our family. Because, you know, he came, and Michael's like, you know, I looked at this baby and said, who made this? He came out of the womb clutching a dollar bill to give the first pair of boobies he saw. True. I'm a dollar richer.
I mean, imagine if that were not her reaction. If her reaction was not, as soon as I saw him, I knew he was meant to be part of this family. What if her reaction was, as soon as I saw him, I knew he wasn't really part of this family. I knew he really had no place here.
As soon as he crawled out of me, he was on his way to an ATM across the room, and I knew I'd made a mistake.
As soon as he came out of me, he pledged a life of monogamy, and I realized he had no place in this family.
So Dean meets Dylan, and he's like, wah, wah, pit, pit, wah, wah, pit, pit.
Wah, 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 wah. There's a lot of wah, 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 wah.
So Ashley's like, this is the beginning of a bond that will last the rest of both of their lives. And she's taking videos of the kids and stuff. And I'm so glad that we didn't have like video phones when I was a little baby, because apparently I was like out of The Shining. When my sister came home, I screamed and yelled, and I took down my pants and peed on the carpet. Okay. Then I was always pushing. Yeah, I was.
Did a tap
was
routine.
Yeah, did a tap routine. I threw up some split pea soup, put some salt in it, re-ate it, because you know what? Who's going to waste split pea soup?
You are not going to waste any split pea soup. This is very Ronnie. This is. And then he started singing "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina," even though it hadn't even been made yet. You already were onto something.
So she is just happy that she could give the greatest gift to her son, which is a sibling. Aww.
Yeah, it was nice. She was like, you know, seeing my two sons together, it all made sense. It all feels complete, which is good, because I know she didn't feel complete after the last one, because she tore her anus. She had an incomplete anus at that moment. So, you know, just going to move. Since my dad's listening, it was important for me to start out with a fresh, torn anus joke.
Yeah, when I know my parents are in the audience, it's just F-bombs and butt sex jokes.
That's the entire time. So then we go to Mia, and she's having a picnic with her kids. And I felt like a craven person for laughing and rewinding as many times as I did. But then I remembered that that is kind of my thing, because they get out of the car and they're walking down the sidewalk to go to the picnic, and her poor daughter just full-on face plants on the sidewalk. The poor girl, I mean, I felt so bad for her, but it was just like the perfect like little
child.
You're
a monster, and I knew that you were laughing at that. I knew it. And I thought to myself,
if they didn't want us to laugh at it, they wouldn't put it in there. Okay, it was meant for a joke.
That
it was meant for a laugh.
The producers were actually making it up to you after having that baby scene, because I know that you were probably sitting there with your arms crossed, like semi-triggered about all the cute baby stuff.
I was.
And it's like, and little kid face plants.
Face plants on the sidewalk, and it was rough. And the thing is this: I know everyone's going to be like, "How could you laugh at that child hurting itself?" But however, you take that shot and you take it out of a TV show and you put it into a meme on Instagram what's that Instagram account that's about children falling over and hurting themselves? Then everyone loves it. Everyone thinks it's the funniest thing. There's an Instagram account. It's like kids getting hit by basketballs, you know, and they're getting knocked over or going down slides and like, you know, tumbling out. You know, there's a whole internet culture of, because they're all fine, right? No one wants to see the kid actually like permanently injured, right? But knowing that they just took one to the head and
it's an old pastime. We used to have America's Home Videos, America's Best Home Videos or whatever, way back when we were little kids, and that's all that was. It's like, look, a baby's on fire. People are like, that is amazing. Bob Saget is a national hero.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, in the context of this show, it probably seems cruel that I laughed at that poor little girl falling on her face. But just know that that clip may resurface in a meme, and then everyone's going to love it. So I think I'm just
This is where like parental judging comes in, you know, and everyone's like, do not judge my mommyhood. Don't mommy shame me. So this isn't really mommy shaming. But I really hated when I would hurt myself or anything bad was happening, and my mom would say, oh, you're okay. You're okay. I mean, that's like the worst response. Yeah. I need sirens. I need more from a mother. My mother, you know, so I'm just projecting. But your kid just face plants off the curb and me is like, you're okay. You're okay. No, I'm not okay. All right. I need a week off. I need to be checked at the hospital. I need to know who the fuck their lawyer is, whoever made this curb.
A therapist. Yeah, for sure. Get the city council on the phone, because there's a lawsuit ready. I mean, look, if the little girl had lost a tooth, I would not have laughed as much. But it was just a full on like Maggie Simpson face plant, you know? And so on that level, it really warmed my heart, and I did I did laugh. So they finally make it to the grass, and then they bust out some. Then they're playing with the bubbles, and Mia's like, "Hey Joshua, how was school today? What did you do? Daddy told me I was working too much. Do you think I'm working too much?" Which is sort of a weird question to ask your kid, right? Sort of puts the kid on the spot.
Who cares? He's a kid, okay? He's supposed to be on the spot. But yeah, I don't think he cares. I think this is a parent fight. And they're trying to get the kid to be like, "No, Mom, emotionally, I need you to take me to soccer. I need it emotionally, Mother." But he's not. He's like, "I mean, I guess so."
"Yeah, but you know why we have to work?" And he's like, "To make money." It's like, "No, because I want you to have a better life than I had."
It's like, okay, you know what? Where's the Nobel Peace Prize? Okay, just get the fucking kid to soccer.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's not in the strip club, right? So, also, by the way, I love all this, like, this, you know, "Mom, you're working too hard. You should be spending more time with me." And then 2 seconds later, he runs off to, and he completely ignores his mom in the park. So, I don't want to hear any more of it. Okay,
I just like how she introduced the scene. Fine. She goes,
"Okay, kids, no phones, because we're outside, and I want to enjoy air."
Yeah, because it's so rare to get air when you're indoors, you know? Just all that vacuum, that vacuum of air indoors. So, so she's just trying to provide. And she starts talking about how her mom, she's saying how, you know, her mom was quote unquote sick when she was younger. That's what she's saying in front of the kids. And then basically going on about how her mom was addicted to drugs and was always coming and going, and that she invited the mom to this picnic, but then the mom was like, "Oh, sorry, I can't make it," even though she's only 20 minutes away.
Yeah, but, you know, my mom kind of does that sometimes, not because of drugs or anything, just because she doesn't want to have to be the babysitter. You know, because a lot of times kids expect that. They're like, "We had a baby. Mom, do you want to move closer?" How about, "No, I don't. I already raised your stupid ass, and I raised you better. You should have a nanny." Okay. No, I do not want to be your free babysitter.
Yeah, the mom probably. Yeah, the mom's probably like, "Listen, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to show up. My granddaughter's going to fall on her face, and then I'm going to have to spend the whole time making her feel better. I don't want to do that."
So G is like, "Well, you know, I don't know if you've thought of it from this perspective, but maybe your mom sees your dad in you. When she looks at you, she sees your dad, and maybe she doesn't want to see you because of that." Which is deep, but you know what? I'm still going to go back to babysitting. Nobody wants to do your free babysitting.
No one wants to do the babysitting. So she's never had lunch with her mom ever in her life. So that's going to be something that she's going to strive for. And she just doesn't get her mom. She doesn't understand her. And she's like, "You know what? When she says, 'Oh, you're just like your dad,' I say yes, because I'm nothing like you, because I'm a girl boss and you're a boy employee." Well, I don't know if that works, but
I don't think you really know your mom until you see what she eats for lunch. You know, like my mom seems like kind of an arrested development type until you see her order a tuna sandwich, eat one bite of it, and ask for a side of mayonnaise. You know, like, who does that?
Yeah, she's going to learn a lot this season when she finally has lunch with her mom. I think you make a good point. So now we go over to Candace and Chris, and Candace is packing a ton of clothes for the upcoming trip because, you know, she says, "Well, this is a crazy time with school and the studio and shooting a pilot for the burgeoning Maryland, D.C., Virginia film industry, but I do need to take a break. I need to take a break." So she invited everyone to Williamsburg.
Yes, and she just says husbandger a lot. So Chris brings her in some tea, and they're talking. What he's laying on the bed, and there's like just a hairpiece kind of thrown, like a ratty ass hairpiece that he's laying with, and all of her clothes are in trash bags all over the room and stuff. And she just talks about how this is just so crazy: going to school, going to the studio, being in films, just listing all the shit that she's just signing herself up for and not really getting paid for.
Being in an Oscar-nominated film. Oscar, of course, was a reference to my cousin Oscar, who nominated it for his favorite film that I've been in. Yes, thank you so much. So she's, so he's like, Chris says, no, just remember when you get back, we shoot the music video. And so Candace says, you know, having Chris as my husbander is definitely a blessing, but it's exhausting dealing with someone who you love and who loves you, but it's also in coachy manager mode. I'm like, all he said is you have to shoot a music video. And I like how this is like the most burdensome thing, you know, for her as a music artist to deal with. Oh my goodness. I have to like this is, this is her life, that this, this seems like a massive amount of responsibility, this general obligation down the line.
Just think how hard it is for him going through all those backstages, you know, just flipping through the backstage looking for extra work for Candace to do. It's a very, very busy life for the manager of Candace. So he's asking who she invited on the trip and if she invited Ashley. And she's like, I don't even know if Ashley is leaving the house. I mean, baby, she had a baby. Ew. Why is she baby shaming? Candace is making it sound like having a baby is the most disgusting thing Ashley's ever done. She keeps making all these comments like, ew, isn't she dilating right now?
Well, I'm sure she'll go through the arc where Candace will inevitably get pregnant, and then she and Ashley will come together just the way Ashley came together with Monique, and they'll bond about being pregnant and understanding. And I never realized how difficult it was being an Oscar nominated actress and all. So so then we go over to Ashley's house, speaking of which, and Giselle arrives with some Corona. And she enters and she sees little baby Dylan. And she's like, oh my God, he's perfect. He doesn't look like Dean, right? He's perfect. Which is a little bit like, I like the implication there. He doesn't look like Dean. He's perfect.
Poor Dean. And then Dean is brought home and he's just looking at Giselle like, oh Jesus. Well, at least it's not Karen, you know? He's like, he just like has that look on his face like, should I lose my shit right now? It's not Karen. Okay. At least I can breathe in here.
Yeah. So, So Giselle is talking about how much she thinks Dylan is super, super cute. And they're just, you know, Giselle and Ashley are talking about kids, and she's saying how Grace is 18 months older than the twins. So it's sort of like the same age difference with Giselle's kids and Ashley's kids. And Giselle was like, there, and Ash is asking how Grace, you know, adapted to the new girls coming into her life when she was little. And Giselle was like, well, Grace was mad for 2 weeks. And then from 2 weeks until today, she's been mad since today.
So they start talking about the time at Candace's house that Ashley wasn't at the party or whatever, her old house. And she goes, so Candace's house, which you called her mama's house. And Ashley said, which the record reflected. And she says, yeah, well, she sold it. So we had a pajama jam. And then the baby goes, and then just green poops like flows out everywhere. Camera. Now, do you think these are like hippie diapers where they're like, hey, you know what? Let's save the environment and we'll wash the diapers in the washing machine.
Yeah, I think there was, I don't know what sort of diapers there were, but it had an effect much like Hypercolor in the 90s. Like, it was definitely like those pajamas were one color one moment and they were another color another moment.
I don't know. I think that it's okay to kill the earth when you're trying to protect yourself from baby poop. I mean, I think that we need to take baby steps. I'm all for saving the environment and everything, but when it comes to diapers, buy them. Buy them, guys, okay? Because you don't want to walk around clothes that you've been washing in the washing machine with green poop. I mean, just think about that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it was a pretty visceral image. Baby Dylan's his little outfit, it looked like, in that moment, it looked like a movie that was trying to portray a blackout in a big city. It was like one moment you just see a city full of lights and then all of a sudden you just see darkness
as the zombies take over.
Sort of in that, you know how it always is like that big chunky thing and the camera pans out and it goes boop, 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 boop. It's like all the lights are going out. That's how it's pooped.
So they, you know, send the baby away to be changed. Now that's how you parent, okay? And then they start talking about the booty hole, of course. So Giselle's like, so this time, what happened to your booty hole? And she's like, well, this time things kind of happened down there. She goes, so you mean you took a shit on the people?
This was the point in the TV show, I should mention, that my dad turned to me and said, what did you say about the booty hole?
bitches. And I was like, that happened to me too when I gave birth. I was like, oh no, I'm shitting on these people.
It was like a blackout in a big city. Yes, they bonded over that. So then Giselle's like, speaking of shitting on a table, have you been invited on this trip, bar? And Ashley's like, what? Trip, huh? She goes, oh, well, Candace said that there's so much to do in Williamsburg. We should go to Williamsburg. I mean, I know there's nothing there, but I'm down.
The producer asked Candace, why didn't she invite Ashley? And she's like, I forgot. my head wrap was too tight. I forgot. Mm-hmm. I forgot.
Yeah. So Giselle invites Ashley, and... Ashley's like, when is it? She's like, next week. So Ashley's like, so she decides she's going to come for a day. And Giselle says, what was interesting was Miss Mia. Mia eases her way over to me and is just like, I just want you to know I'm sorry and I just want to get to a better place with you. So me and Robin are going to go out with her.
And she says, yeah, because I want to know how you went from Annapolis to dancing in a strip club in North Carolina so I can tell my kids what not to do. Wah. Oh, and so she says, oh, and I forgot this part. Wendy, she came in like wearing literally nothing to this party. She's in little short shorts and she's like, it's a lot. Da. It's not who we met. Da. It's not new and improved. It's just a new Wendy who wants to talk to her tits and her ass. Ah. So Giselle is basically going to try and ruin Wendy's life because Wendy has the nerve to be nice to Karen now. So Wendy, welcome. This is the fruits of your labor standing up for Robin and Giselle all last year.
Yeah, see, Wendy, she got a new face and body because she decided to do that season 2 glow up. But unfortunately, what comes with the glow up also comes the teardown, and it's happening right now. So Giselle says, well, there's a rumor out there that supposedly Eddie has a girlfriend or something.
And here goes Giselle, who's so angry that Karen talked about her relationship and everything on TV. Here is Giselle again bringing up shit from blogs onto national television to ruin someone's marriage. What an asshole. And then has the nerve in the same exact episode to be like, you are telling lies about me and my family. Typical.
Yeah, when Jamal is like the most, you know, like the idea that Eddie might have a girlfriend on the side is, whether or not it's true, it's more far-fetched than Jamal having a love child. Like, that's like what I expect from Jamal at this point. Like, I'm surprised he hasn't had 5 love children since we last saw him.
So Giselle, or donation children, like, what do you call it? Offering children when they pass the basket around for money at church.
Yes, tithing children.
I don't know if I'd call them children. Love children. I don't think he gives enough time to be really love children. It's just, you know, you don't have your tithe that week.
Just their children.
Daddy Jamal.
Their children. Their children that are there.
Giselle thinks that Wendy is just trying to be so sexy and fun-loving because her husband's cheating on her and she's trying to overcompensate. And I was like, well, why did that never happen to you? Why did you get stick up the ass and she became more fun? If anything, I would say Eddie cheating did her a world of good. It did her more of a world of good than Jamal cheating did to you. Not that it's a competition.
Well, I don't know about that.
Competition. Giselle's just being such an ass.
I don't know if I'm loving Zen Wen this season, to be honest. I love Wendy last season. I don't know. The jury is out for me with Zen Wen. And speaking of which, we now go to Wendy's house where she's trying to teach a class on Zoom. And her kids are being noisy. It's another one of these things like, oh man, working at home with children. How do you do it? So there's lots of craziness. And then Wendy goes out to the family living room and she starts talking with Eddie. The kids go downstairs and she's like, you know, I was looking at myself at the lecture with my hoop earrings. And, you know, I always felt the struggle of, you know, what hat to wear. Like, literally when I'm doing a Zoom with my class, what sort of hat do I wear? A big brim one, short little one, like one of Robin's stupid caps. I don't know which hat to wear, but I've got to figure it out.
Yeah, I was wearing a hoop earring and I was showing my shoulder. And then I thought, you know, I'm a professor. I listen to twat music. Okay. And the world tries to fit me in a box. Like, even with candles, people say, how do you go from being a lawyer to candles? You know what I mean? Yes. I'm sure everybody's whole life is now revolving around you selling candles. No one cares. Okay. Nobody cares.
Wendy, in an effort to prove that her life can't be put into a box, has decided that she's going to sell candles in boxes. So she's literally doing the most boxy thing she could do, which is selling, like presenting little cute boxes.
Literally putting her name on a box and then putting all of her dreams inside of it for other people to buy.
We all agree. This whole thing about I'm a professor, but I listen to trap music. I'm a commentator, but I curse like a sailor. That may all be true, but her whole thing about I don't want to be put in a box is just her way to like preload or she's trying to criticize proof her product here right now. This is just like her kind of marketing ploy to get everyone to offer back about like why the hell are you making candles right now? She's trying to like assign some sort of lofty thing like, oh, this is not just a candle. This represents her ability to be many different things, and for you to hate on her candle is to hate on her journey or something like that. But no, it's stupid. It's a candle.
So then Eddie's like, well, now, you know, there's going to come a time where you have to take some of this off your plate because, you know, if you just become a shell of yourself, you can't give me 100%. You can't give the kids 100%. And Wendy's like, yeah, I want a cookie. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. So he starts kind of lecturing her. And he's like, my question is, are you happy? She's like, are you fulfilled? Are you? And he's like, no, because the things I would want to do come at a cost, you know? And that would mean that it comes at a cost to the family. But you're fine doing it. And she's like, can I just have a bit of grace because I'm your wife?
And Eddie's like, look, you have a handful of candles. You chose a name. Is that the name of your home essentials? Did you see if that name was even available? And she's like, what, you have to register? And he's like, yeah, you have to register your business. Okay. He's like, I'm being very delicate about this. She's like, no, you're not being delicate. And he's like, well, you've got to write a mission. You got to write a mission for the company. She goes, the mission is to sell candles.
I mean, I kind of see her point. You know, why? What is it, the eighth grade? We all have to write down multiple paragraphs. I want to sell some. I became a housewife. I'll probably be a housewife for a total of 3 years. I want to sell as many tchotchkes as I can to pay for a retirement house. Okay, what else do you need from me? Okay, do you want me to write that down?
Yeah, so he goes, you know what? You need to think about your business plans and how you're going to finance it. And you're not going to pay out of your pocket. And she goes, no, I'm going to pay out of your pocket. At which point my dad like let out a belly laugh. That was like the funniest thing for him. He loved that line.
And he's like, yeah. That and he's like, see, now my pocket's been closed. And she's like, well, maybe I bit off a bit more than I can chew because I didn't consider how much commitment it was, you know, but I'm not about that. I don't know about that stuff, you know, but I'm not willing to walk away from it. Cause if I walk away, I'm walking away from my dream. My candle dream.
Her brand new candle dream. By the way, the other thing is that Wendy is too smart to be playing this dumb. Oh, I didn't know I have to register my business. Oh, I didn't know I have to do this. Oh, I have to do... Like, none of this is adding up to me. This woman has 4 degrees. She's very, very smart. And I guarantee everything that Eddie has said, her mother has told her 10 times over. I don't understand why she's... Like, oh, wow, I got to get packaging. Oh, I got to do a marketing plan. I got to do a business plan. I got to register. I got to get a copyright. I think she's fallen
victim to the season one Twitter meanies, you know, where you go on Twitter, you read all the things that people hate about you, and people are like, oh, really? 4 degrees? Oh, wow, shocker. She's mentioning 4 degrees again. Oh, she thinks she's so smart. She's so serious. Na, 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 na. She's so lame. And so this year she's like, well, guess what? Here's fun, Wendy. And it's Wendy. Here's the Wendy who doesn't know everything. Like, what? I have to register an LLC? What is that? And now people aren't liking that either, you know? I think it's really dangerous on these shows when you just try and please the audience, because the audience can sense that and they will eat you alive, you know? The audience likes people who aren't really trying.
Yeah, and also the audience likes you if you're gonna try to capitalize on your 15 minutes of fame on Bravo. The audience likes it when you do something that makes sense, like not candles, like write a book. Why is she not writing a book or doing some sort of seminars or literally anything but candles? Like the candles make the least sense.
Yeah,
for Wendy.
Like, you know, maybe be a sponsor for Degree, the deodorant.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go over to Giselle. Giselle and Robin are at a restaurant in a strip mall. It's some strange, you could tell it's like a club normally, and they've opened up to make it look sort of like a restaurant. It looks like they're in a hotel bar.
It's one of those strip mall places that they really do the set on the inside, but you're still walking into a strip bar, a strip mall, right?
Yeah, and which is really funny because Mia shows up in a ball gown with a fur coat, and she's like walking past Domino's Pizza to get to this bar. This bar that has clearly been closed for COVID, and they reopened it to shoot this.
Right, and this is the kind of restaurant where they're pretending they're really fancy, but you know this has been or could be a dollar store. So
it was definitely a Payless at one point, and it may have even been some sort of strange like arcade. And they just decided to keep the neon highlights underneath the bar for it. I'm not sure.
Then Robin comes to the strip mall, and Giselle's like, "What about your suffering crotch?" Because Robin says, "Other than my body sitting in my crotch, I'm good." I don't know what that means.
I think she said her crotch hurts. I thought it was a reference to like maybe her pants being too tight. I just didn't bother going back to listen to what she had to say. I just knew that she was uncomfortable. She was physically uncomfortable at that moment.
So they order, and then Mia comes in a fur and a silver booby dress. You know, she's like banging, and she's like, "Hi, ladies." And Robin says, "I wonder if this is the same ball gown Mia met her husband in a strip club where she doesn't strip." You know what? Stop job shaming her. Aren't you the one that like just started working 1 minute ago? And where's your dump truck business, Robin? Okay? What happened to your dump truck, judgy?
I think it's fine to shade Mia about strange ball gown.
I don't. This is Housewives. What the hell show do you think you're on?
I mean, I think that maybe she just was desperate to, after months of pandemic, she just wanted to wear the ball gown somewhere. But it was a strange touch. And I still think it's strange that the strippers in her strip club all wore ball gowns for the stripping. So Robin's like, "Mia, we want to start over, okay?" And she's, "Well, I don't want anyone to feel like I was being rude by any means. So thank you for bringing that to my attention. I don't want to be like that. I want to mesh really well with you guys. So thank you for enlightening the air about that, because I love the air."
So I don't know that Mia's going to fit in with these two, because Giselle ordered a snapper, which, you know, had like a decent potato or something with it. And then Robin had a Southwest salad, which is healthy, but still kind of fattening because, you know, there's cheese and like some kind of spicy ranch on there. And then Mia just got a field green salad. So you're going to need to eat a little bit richer if you're going to be on this show. And richer, I mean, in calories. Okay. A field green salad is not going to fly with this cast, man.
Actually, it will fly with this cast, because in the trailer, we actually did see Mia actually throwing a field green salad at someone. So it will literally fly in someone's face.
So Giselle's like, "Well, we'd want to meet Mia on a clean slate. We can kiki and move forward." Who is saying kiki like kiki?
I like it. I like
but
it.
But yeah, she wants festive, to move forward. So Mia's like, "Well, I have three children and a husband who's like my fourth child. I'm from Annapolis, and I want you to understand this part." So then she tells them that she was in the foster system, and she tells us that story of what happened. So basically, her dad was abusive to her mother. And one time she was trying to help her mother, and so he pushed her, and she was flung into the TV, basically. So she went to school the next day with little cuts all over her, and a friend told a teacher, and then she got put into foster care. So sad.
Yeah.
Really?
Pretty sad story. And then, I know, it's really, really sad. And so then Mia then says how like she and her mom have not started having a good relationship until very recently, and her mom has been sober for 10 years. And then she and Robin bond because Juan's parents both died of AIDS from heroin usage. And then I think her father or someone also died in the same way. So they sort of start to bond. And Giselle's like, life is a journey, ups and downs, and you've been through a lot, and it's a testament that you're still sitting here with a fur, yes, And Amir's like, well, it's a faux fur. Yes, 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 I'm just saying something nice, so I can go back to shading you about being a stripper and wearing a ball gown. Thank you.
So she goes, well, I will speak for Robin. We love this Mia, but now the Mia in the group has been, I'm a boss, you're not a boss, I'm a boss, you're not a boss. So I'm looking forward to the trip, bah, with you now that we've had this talk.
Yeah. So then we get some footage of around town, including a very brief shot of a deer pooping. That was really, I really enjoyed that call back to Ashley and Giselle's conversation, yeah. But in deer form. And then Karen is FaceTiming with her cousin David, and she's like, well, I can't wait to get to work as the ambassador to Surrey, also known as the crossroads of crossroads sign factories. Thank you. I cannot wait to go there.
Giselle is telling her kids, you know, I'm going to have a swimming water aerobics class with these ladies. I'm like, Mom, you don't even know how to swim, idiot.
Loser. You can swim as well as Grace can drive. Hey.
I love the kids are just constantly giving Giselle shit on this show.
Always. And then we see Robin's son, Corey, who's like grown into a different person, helping her with orders with her hats and stuff. And then Wendy's packing a skimpy bathing suit. So it's just like it's the whole packing montage. And we ultimately land with Chris helping Candace with her luggage. And it's the usual, wow, you're packing three bags for all this stuff for just 3 days. And she's talking about sweaters and all that stuff. And giant bus shows up in their driveway, and we start sort of the montage of people arriving and getting on the bus.
She's Lysoling the strip poles, because of course there's stripping poles in there. And she sees a karaoke mic, which I'm sure she asked for, just so she could say, hello! To everybody who comes on the bus.
To everyone. Yeah. So they're all showing up. And so Wendy shows up, and she's wearing one of those sweatshirt things that one of the Kardashians made popular, and now we see it everywhere. Where it's like a sweatshirt top, but then the bottom of it is like completely gone. It's like a sweatshirt.
Well, it's like a turtleneck, right? So it keeps your waddle warm, but then your boobies are very cold because then it opens right above your cleavage or your décolletage.
It's like an inverted dickie.
Yes.
You know? And so she's wearing that, but then she's wearing kind of like, it looks like a bathing suit, but she says it's a bodysuit. And then she's wearing some, I don't know, jeans or who knows what. And the point is, it's a very different look for Wendy. And so Giselle's like, well, the person I met last year wouldn't be wearing Forever 21 with her whole sides out. And then we see just like pictures of Wendy from last year wearing, you know, more conservative attire. So, you know, Wendy is, again, showing out because she's feeling happy and
Giselle's a monster. Just leave her alone. Who cares? I mean, there's plenty to come after Wendy for it, but not liking her because she's, like, dressing too sexy now is a little ridiculous. So Candace is like, whoa, you smell like new braids, which I liked. And then Karen comes on, and when Karen walks on the bus, Giselle's face, Giselle looks like she just had baby Dylan sitting, you know, right above her, spreading green. Yeah.
Pooping all over again. Yeah.
She looks so mad. And she's wearing her double G sweater thing. Is that the same thing that Ebony wears on New York?
The Gucci double pink thing?
G or the pink G's and that kind of sweater cape type thing?
It's a variation on that. Oh, we should probably mention, by the way, our bonus episode last week was us... We did a shot-by-shot breakdown of the House of Gucci trailer. So we really recommend everyone watch that because that was a really fun bonus, as long as we're mentioning Gucci.
So then Karen, she's giving her a dirty look, and Karen's like, well, as long as there's no accountability with Giselle for the things she does to me and my family, there will be nothing to do with Giselle.
Yeah, and so then Escala comes on the bus, and then Ashley... Ashley's not coming, and Giselle's like, oh, Ashley will, you know, I invited her, and Candace is like, huh? And Candace is like, Don't this hoe gotta heal her coochie?
She's like, she just gave birth 2 minutes ago. A garrosa. And so then Mia comes and she's like, can I tell you all, I'm so excited for this trip. Like, just my husband has the kids now. And, like, he thinks he wants to be, like, super dad, but, like, I have cameras on them. So.
Yeah. And so Escala has cameras, too. And they're just, like, all being silly. They're talking about how Juan last night, he, like, shot up the club last night, the strip club. And so then this prompts Wendy, she just starts, like, grinding on, I think it was on Robin. I don't remember who she was. But she started just, like, grinding. And so then this leads to, like, the inevitable stripper pole moment, right, where they just get on the pole. And so they start, there's, like, a whole montage of them. Like, Robin's like, Mia, you gotta get on the pole. You gotta get on the pole. Well, we didn't have a pole in my establishment, which this is a little crazy. A strip club without a pole? Do we believe that?
I think Mia keeps forgetting what she said in the last episode, you know, like from episode to episode. Like, first, she's just a bartender. Then she's like, okay, well, you know, did she admit to being a stripper later? I think she said she was a stripper, then but she wasn't a hooker. And now she's like, I was a stripper, but I wasn't a stripper with a pole. And then, it's like, who cares? Just be a stripper. You can't, like, have half pride. That's not how it works. You have to have full-on pride. Just say, I'm a stripper and be a badass at the pole.
And then they start stripping on this pole. They don't start stripping, but they start pole dancing. And they're, you know, the producers do this funny thing where they show how many tips each person gets. And long story short, it's like Mia is like the best on the pole, right? Like, she's the best, but she's like, no, we didn't have a
by
pole.
By far. She's like grabbing the pole with, like, her ass cheeks, taking it down, twirling it in her butt cheeks, like flipping it up, grabbing it with her cooch, and, like, you know, re-sticking the pole back into the bus. Like, she's really good at it.
Yeah. And then she's like, well, I have never worked on a pole, but I have a lot of friends who know how to do it, so I took a lot of notes. I'm like, that's not how it works, because it's not. We've seen Whitney on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and she does that pole every single day. Like, she takes more notes than anyone else on it, and she's not half as good as me.
Knowing people who do things doesn't make you good at that thing, okay? Otherwise, I would, you know, have a real job. So Karen is like, that is odd. That is odd. And then Candace announces that on her Echo Mic. Still trying to find a key. I love that even when Candace is just singing her own stuff on the silly karaoke mic, she's off key. It's like there's not even an assigned key, and she's still off key. So she's announcing the rooms because there's a main house and then there's a cottage. So the main house is going to be Mia, Robin, Giselle, and Wendy and Escala and Karen will be in the cottage. It's very cute.
Yeah. So Wendy's already annoyed. The fact that it's lesser, she says, I don't need it. So then Giselle is like, Mia and I have had some rocky moments. The other day, Robin and I hung out with Mia. And, the slate is clean. The slate is clean.
And Karen just tells us, well, I'm hoping Mia's experience is different than my experience with her. Because one minute she's my friend and the next minute she's attacking me. She's slick. She's like an oil slick.
Which we're going to get rid of now that I'm the ambassador to Surrey County. No more oil slicks. That's my
why
platform.
Fly and eradicating oil slicks. There it is. Surrey.
So Karen's like, well, by the way, I'm going to be sworn in as the international ambassador to Surrey County, USA. And of course, because of COVID and we're having a very, very limited number of people there, I've invited Mia, and I also like Wendy to come to this very important occasion. So, Giselle, of course, this raises eyebrows with Giselle, because she's thinking, you know, last year, Karen couldn't stand Wendy, and now all of a sudden, they're best friends. Y'all go ahead to Surrey and have a great time, but don't blink now, because you're going to miss the town.
So then, let's see, they arrive at the house, and it's gorgeous. And Candace says, this property is a diamond in the rough. No, it's not, Candace. It's an actual diamond, ma'am. Okay. And Candace is like, do the inhabitants of this home want to choose our room?
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing. I totally had missed that she said it was a diamond in the rough. Diamond in the rough would be like if
it's
you're...
like a flip, right? Like, wow, this house really could be cool.
It was just like in the middle of no... It's Williamsburg, Virginia. I don't know much about Williamsburg, Virginia, but I just assume it's nice. I mean, it has a whole thing, right? Like, it's like... It has commercials with people in costumes. Like, I feel like it... I just feel like I would expect to see nice homes there, right? It's like going to Beverly Hills and seeing a nice house and be like, wow, this is a real diamond in the rough. Like, I don't think there's any rough around
I think it's
here.
Like seeing a diamond and going, wow, that's like a diamond in the rough. No, this diamond has been chiseled, ma'am.
It's just a diamond at K Jewelers.
So they look around the house, and Escala is like, wow, Wendy, do you see our knot room? Do you want to see it? Look at all these knot rooms. Look at all these rooms that aren't ours. So they kind of look around, and Giselle's like, I misjudged Doc Williamsburg. I repent.
Based off of one house. Listen, I think they're just still traumatized by their terrible trip to Rehoboth Beach in season one. I think they just always expect twin beds and no air conditioning at this point.
Traumatized. So the lady who's showing them the house is like, a couple of ex-presidents have slept over here, and Obama slept in this room. And Candace is like, my former boss slept here.
My good friend Barack Obama. Happy birthday, boss. So, and you know, by the way, whoever's sleeping in Obama's room is going to be bragging about it for a long time. As would I, by the way. I'd be like, guys, I totally slept in the same bed that Obama slept in. So, now it's time for lunch. So Giselle makes her way to the buffet, of course. And they're all making their little meal. Like, wow, this is so yummy. Thank you so much. Wonderful. It's such an honor. Such an honor for you to put out this spread to celebrate me being the ambassador to Surrey County, where I shall be sworn in and take this position very, very seriously. Heretofore, there shall be no more stop signs, only go slow signs. There. Wow, what a weighty job.
So Giselle whispers to Robin, I wish you were upstairs, Robin. And Robin goes, oh, I want to switch. And she goes, then take Mia's room. She's like, okay, Mia, I'm going to switch rooms with you. You can sleep down here. And they laugh because they're a-holes, Robin and Giselle. And so it looks like Mia's going to get mad, and we go to commercial. And then we come back, and Candace is like, well, all the rooms are master suites, but Mia chose the one to the left. And Giselle's like, yes, but I want Robin there. So then we see Robin kick her out again because it's Housewives. So we get to see it before commercial and after. She goes, you're moving downstairs. And Karen goes, let me get this right. You took her room. So move. What did she say? So move. That's what it sounded like to me.
She moved her out of her room in less than 5 minutes. You want to? Well, she said, "What a subtle move." That's what she said. By what a subtle move. She said it so subtly, in fact, that
I wrote it down. It. Mouth movement, soul, mouth movement, move.
Well, when you're the ambassador to Surrey County, you don't have to articulate all the words you want to say. So, Karen's basically like, "Wow, she moved her out of her room in 5 minutes." But Mia's actually fine with it, and Giselle says, so I want this trip to be nice and fun, so would anyone at all like to apologize to anyone else before the trip gets started? Anyone who possibly has a ceremonial distinction about a county in Virginia somewhere?
I love that she
anyone?
Kicks somebody out of anyone? Their room and then asks everybody else for an apology. Like, why don't you apologize for what you did 5 seconds ago? So, Escala's like, well, are apologies due? And Karen goes, are you talking to me? She's like, yes, Karen. She says, well, I'm waiting for an apology from you because I apologize in group text. Soul movement.
And Giselle's like, I was looking for an apology for you lying about me and lying about my family.
Your dad first.
And
because your dad first.
What?
How about you get your dad on here to apologize? Because he's the one who said that Jamal had a baby with one of the parishioners, not Karen. Okay. She mentioned it on the reunion, but your dad was the one who said it on audio, ma'am.
Well, either way, I mean, like, literally, I'm surprised. I'm surprised it was only her dad who said it, right? I mean, so Karen's like, well, if Giselle really wants to squash this, then she would pull me away as a woman, but she needs an audience. I will say this. I don't know why Karen needs an apology. Like, remove for a moment this whole thing about like, oh, well, Giselle has no problem, you know, trashing other people's families. But the moment someone mentions a rumor about her, she gets mad. Just remove that for a moment. I don't understand why Karen needs an apology. I like that she wants one. I think it's hilarious. But if she seriously wants an apology because Giselle said something 4 years ago, metaphorically.
Well, yeah, that thing, she's bringing up a ridiculous thing to say that she doesn't need to apologize. But that said, she doesn't need to apologize to Giselle. I mean, Giselle did the tax thing about Ray. She spread rumors that Karen was cheating on Ray with that Frank Sinatra driver or whatever, Mr. Blue Eyes or whatever they were calling him. I mean, she's horrible. She's awful, and she's been trying to ruin Karen's life for years. So if Karen repeats some comments that your own father made on the show, then I think you should be quiet, okay? And you should aim that at your dad. So they're both ridiculous, but I'm still team Karen.
Well, either way, Karen's like, Giselle says, well, you decided to talk about my family in front of the whole universe, which is, to your point, like, as if Giselle does not do this to every other single person on this show every single season. So then Karen's like, well, until she is held accountable for her actions. that's where I think Karen is hilarious. Because, like, what is Karen talking about? Until she's held accountable for actions. And she's like, what actions are? What are you talking about? Well, I'm not going to get into it.
Do you mean that, are you talking about Giselle wishing death on the way? And she's like, I never said anything about Ray dying. And Robin's like, it was 4 years ago anyway. Robin, be quiet, okay? No one asked you. You're still not in this, okay? Just be quiet.
Well, I think Giselle is upset because her whole life was revealed as a lie, and she's a fraud and a fake. So, of course, Giselle's thing is to deflect, because let me tell you one thing. She is someone who would never be invited to be the ambassador to Surrey County, USA. That's for sure.
You did not wish death upon your husband. You know that, Karen. You know, Robin is, like, suddenly filled with life. I think that Karen should just start recording little voice memos to trigger Robin, because it would get her ass up every morning to do what she needed to do around the house, you know? Just like, I'm mad at Giselle. How dare you, Robin? Juan would be like, oh my God, you fed the kids and got them off to school. What did you do? Used a Karen alarm, girl.
So then Giselle says, well, anything I did to you in the past, I apologize to you. And you know this Ray shit is bullshit. I want Ray to live. I want him to pay his bills.
Cut to Jamal owing $740,000 in back taxes. Whoops.
Yeah. But at least Giselle's not with him, right? At least she left him. Or who knows? I mean, for a variety of reasons. I don't know. I thought it was hilarious. I love watching it. When these two fight, it is just, we all win. We all win from it.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for being with us for Real Housewives of Potomac. It looks like next week Giselle tries to come for Wendy for the cheating husband rumors. And then Wendy lets her have it. So very excited for that, which is why I'm already pre on Team Wendy. You see, you notice that shift today where I was like, Wendy, what did Wendy do, everybody?
I know, I did notice that. Like, you
shifted.
You preloaded your. I mean, I don't know. I've always loved Giselle, even when she's blatantly in the wrong, which is 95% of the time. I just love how shameless she is.
I do too. You know, Giselle makes me crazy on this. She makes me really mad because I really think she is the villain in almost every situation. But she's one of those villains that I want to stay on the show forever. I don't think it would work without her.
She's so good. I mean, I think the show has such an amazing dynamic with her and Karen. And did you see that Lisa Rinna posted something on Instagram where she was like, I just want to do a guest appearance on Potomac because those girls know how to play. I think Rinna would not even know what would hit her. She's used to playing in Beverly Hills where it's softballs, you know. I think she would just get destroyed, but she would be kind of funny too.
That would be fun to watch. It would be terrifying to watch because she really would get it. They would hand her head on a plate, you know. That they'd rip off that wig in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it would not.
They would not take 1 minute of her shit on this show. That's for sure. All right, everybody. Well, we sure love you. Yeah. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
The Bay Area betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the Wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The Incredible Edible Matthews Sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's Get Racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's Take Off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.
We love you guys.